Let's stand together, grab our Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. And I want, if you've been reached through the bus ministry, maybe you were reached as a teenager, maybe in another church, or maybe your wife was reached and she reached you, or she was reached first. I want you to think about that because I'm going to ask for your attention. If you were reached through the bus ministry, adults, teenagers, maybe you're a child and now you're an adult. And so think about that. And then I'm going to ask you to come up here. Okay, no one's preaching, I'm preaching. I'm going to ask you to come up here and in just a little bit. And if you have children, bring the children with you. And so if you get ready for that, just think about it so that when we do it, you won't have to think, was I reached the bus ministry? Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, and look at verse number 17. We'll pray, and then we're going to look at a few more verses in the Gospels. Proverbs 19, verse number 17. Proverbs 19, verse 17. He that hath pity on the poor, poor people. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him, referring to the Lord, again. Father, help us to have a heart like you have. And help, as Nick was singing, help hide us behind Jesus. Help us to have the heart and the mind that you have. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. I want you to please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And look at verse 1. Keep praying for our building. We need the space. We need the space. Matthew chapter 11. Of course, John, the Bible says John the Baptist was the greatest man, no greater man born of a woman than John the Baptist. But we see here that John was having a little lapse of faith. We all do at times. By the way, love people when they're having a lapse of faith. Encourage them. Be a blessing to them, okay? Because you're next. Then I'm next, okay? Let's, the strong people are supposed to support the weak. And then one day that strong person's going to be weak, and then that weak person's going to be strong. Let's support each other. John's having a lapse of faith. Matthew chapter 11, verse 1, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. And now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. So John's in prison. Obviously his disciples are ministering to him and probably feeding him. And so he gets these two disciples and he asks them to get a message out. Verse 3. He sent his two disciples, verse 2 and verse 3, and said unto him, art thou he, or actually, he said, John had heard, while he was in prison, the works of Christ, and he said, verse 3, and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And that was the message. Can you go see, is this Jesus? Well, he already knew it was Jesus, but look at verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John in prison again those things which ye do and hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor. The whom class, can you say it? The poor have the gospel preached to them. Turn, if you would, over to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4. Just sort of by way of introduction, we all weren't born into poor families, but some of us were. And whether you were born in a poor family or not, God has a special heart, special place in his heart for poor people. Poor people. By the way, what happens if you get saved and you're taught right, you get some character, you're not poor anymore. At least not in America. Okay? And then what happens is we sort of unintentionally, okay? By the way, our independent Baptist churches, we didn't used to have chandeliers and all the pillars and all the nice things in churches. We were in storefronts, and we were in just struggling, you know, and we were after the poor. And you say, why? Because, and I'll get to it, poor people are more open to God. Okay, and that's not just experience. That's what the Bible says. And then it's proven by experience. Then we get nice things, and we get nice cars, and we get a nice church, and we build a new building, and we go, well, wait a minute, I don't want the poor people in here. You know, because now actually we can reach, you know, people that have a little higher economic life because, you know, we have something nicer and it can attract them. And then all of a sudden, you know, the poor people come in, and poor people sometimes, they look different than people that have a little bit more, and we're almost embarrassed. If Jesus was here, he wouldn't be embarrassed about poor people. See, man, that guy right there didn't comb his hair before he came to church. I can beat that. Most of my little boys don't comb their hair before they come to church. Okay? Poor people. Poor. The poor. Look at Luke. Did I say Luke? Luke chapter 4. Look at verse number 13. By the way, this Jesus is quoting from the book of Isaiah. Billy Sunday, whenever he preached, he left his Bible open to this portion of scripture that's in Isaiah. But we'll read it here in Luke chapter 4, verse 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Of course, Jesus went through these temptations here. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as he accustomed was, he went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of Esaias, or Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So Jesus is going to open the scriptures here in the synagogue. He opens to Isaiah, and this is what he reads. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the, say it class, to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. We have the fall. We have different times of the year where we emphasize things. You get what you emphasize. And so we emphasize that God says the harvest in Matthew 9, 36, 35, 36, 37, 38, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the labors are few. And so what we do in the church is we try to communicate the importance of getting the gospel out. By the way, we're supposed to get the gospel out not just with our five tracts, not just during the 70,000-door campaign. We're supposed to get the gospel out all the time. We emphasize it because whatever's important, you ought to emphasize, and what gets emphasized gets done. We have the missions emphasis because God commands us to get the gospel around the world. We have the 70,000-door campaign. You say, why? Because God commands us to get the gospel out in Jerusalem. Now, I don't think I've ever done anything like this before, but tonight, I want to just preach a little bit about the bus ministry. The bus ministry. You say, oh, what's the bus ministry? The bus ministry is a tool to get the gospel not only to the poor, but a lot of in our country, you know, if you comparatively speaking, and I know when we look at Haiti and you think of the poor people in our communities, we don't know what poor is. But in our setting, it is a great ministry to the poor. By the way, remember this. God blesses those that bless the poor. The heart of Jesus was for the poor people. I remember when I was in Florida, that was back in purgatory time for me. But I went to a church. There was a conference there. And I never forget the preacher. He said this. He said, you study the Bible. Jesus went after the poor people. He said, the rich people went after Jesus. And now, why the bus ministry? Let me say, first of all, just sort of to jump right in, God blesses those that bless the poor. Most of our bus ministry areas, not all of them, are a wider harvest. By the way, God loves rich people too. God loves the middle class people. Most of us here are just middle class people, blue collar people, but God blesses those that bless the poor. Then let me say this real quickly. No matter what happens, we get in the new building, and maybe all of a sudden, some of the country club people start coming over here. They like us. Even if the country club people start coming over here, we're still going to reach the poor. Okay? You say, oh, Pastor, the poor people, you know, these bus kids, they're coming in here, and they're ripping our pew chairs. First of all, how do you know it's the poor people? It's probably our Christian school kids. Okay? Don't blame it all on the bus kids, though they do a lot of stuff. Okay? And if you're going to have a bus ministry, you're going to have gum on the carpet. If you're going to have bus ministry, you're going to have graffiti in the bathrooms. But that's okay. We're after their lost souls. The bus ministry produces, please, let me say this. The bus ministry produces fruitful workers. Please get this. Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he'd bring forth laborers. Can everybody say laborers? Please get this. Some of the best laborers, and I'm not saying we use the bus ministry to cut our teeth, to train us, but I'll tell you this. As Brother Wes was saying, mine eye hath affected my heart. Some of the best workers that I've ever met since I started serving the Lord, you know where they got a heart for people? In the bus ministry. The bus ministry. My brother going to Laos. You know where? I'll never forget. We were in Bible college, and I was in the youth ministry. Nothing against the youth ministry. Brother Ross, we love you. I was in the youth ministry. We visited for a couple hours, and then we went home. We went back to the dorms. But my brother was in the bus ministry. They visited until 8, 9 o'clock at night. They'd have prayer meeting till about 10. They'd come back, and he'd come home, and we're in the same dorms. He'd come home all fired up. He said, man, we were in there. We're in the inner city of Chicago, and we saw these poor people in the inner cities, the American Indians, and their lives are a wreck. And he's going on and on and on. And really, these guys were excited about trying to reach people. And I wasn't not excited, but I wasn't as excited as him. But that's where my brother got his heart for people. By the way, he talked me into getting in the bus ministry, and it changed my heart. He's a missionary now. Brother Pineda was a bus captain. He's one of our staff members now. Brother Myers was a bus captain in Bible college. His wife was a bus captain. I think they're bus captains. Where'd he go? He cutting church tonight? Brother Board over here. Brother Board was a bus captain in Iowa. Brother Board called me. I'd met him one time, and he called me, and I didn't really know him. I just shook his hand in the hallway of the college, and that was it. I think somebody introduced me, and then he called me, and our anniversary was in August. I don't know, it was June or July, and he said, hey, you want to just come visit your church? Fine. I said, maybe you might want to come on our anniversary. And him and his wife come out, Mrs. Board come out on an anniversary, and remember that anniversary, that Sunday? Man, we didn't have buses or vans, we had trucks. In those days, you can put kids in the back of the trucks. I remember those days. We pile them five deep, and we put them in the back of the truck. We put them in back and forth and 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 back and forth. Okay, and we had a huge day. Our first anniversary. Was it 347 or something? Our first anniversary here at Pacific Baptist. And Brother Board He came out here. But Brother Board had a heart for the Cambodian people. You say, where'd he get his heart? He got it on the bus ministry. Bus ministry. Brother Kyle up here. Brother Kyle came here. He's away from the Lord. And he was he really had never grown as a Christian. And now his wife invited him to church. Maybe Brother Austin invited him to church on Friend Day. And got here and got in Bible college, started growing in the Lord. And he started a bus route. He started a bus route in Lakewood, Bellflower, Paramount. He had pushed and prayed and soul winning and visiting. And the first day, how many bus kids did you have? First Sunday, two. But he didn't quit. Went back after it, prayed more, knocked on more doors, won more souls. And that bus route, they saw many, many, many people saved. That it became the biggest bus route in the church. But one of the reasons Brother Kyle Beck is the co-pastor, now the principal here at Pacific Baptist, co-pastor of Monterey Park, is because he got his heart for people in the bus ministry. Brother Bruce, apprentice over in Monterey Park, bus captain. Brother, my son up here, bus captain. Are you a bus captain now? Sorry, you don't know. Okay, bus captain and started a bus route. Now he's another bus captain. And my son Timothy was a bus captain serving now in Monterey Park. Brother Two's now, of course, he's in Cambodia. He was a bus captain. Brother Charlie was a bus captain at Bible College, right? Big bus route. Brother Charlie, now on our staff. Brother Chantha Chim, bus captain in Bible College. Now he's a missionary to Singapore. The Sutrix missionaries to Thailand, working with Brother Jay Ching, bus captains. Brother Grandy, Brother Nick was up here singing. His dad, we were at a Bible college together, bus captain. Brother Adrian's going to Cambodia. We're finally getting rid of him. I'm looking at Brother Wayne Sean Rock back there. Personal joke. Anyway, I was a bus captain for 6 years. 6 years. That's where I got my heart. I had a heart for God. You say, what the bus? You say, Pastor, what's the point? The point right there is, you know what the bus ministry does? It doesn't only get lost people saved. It doesn't only reach the poor and help the poor. You know one thing it does? It does something to the heart of the workers. Brother, you college students, okay? Give your heart to your bus route. Take those boundaries and put a map up in your dorm room or in your bedroom and pray for it and say, God, help us to reach this area and get people saved and get lives changed in this area. Lord, use me in this area. The bus ministry produces fruitful labors. Fruitful labors. We sort of have, Brother Kyle and I, he's the church planning director. We sort of like this. Work on a bus. We would like to see some of the future church planters start a bus route. Okay? And then if you can be fruitful in the bus route, maybe someday you can start an adult Sunday school class. And then maybe, and it's not, this is like a stepping stone, but I'm just saying it's an opportunity for you to grow. And then someday you start a bus route and you saw people saved and baptized and growing and some kids in Christian school and they come in a night church and now they're growing in the Lord. They're a teenager. They love the Lord. Now they're out going soul winning with the teenagers. Then you start an adult Sunday school class. Now you can reach adults for Christ and then you can go start a church. Bus ministry produces fruit for workers. Let me say number next. The converts from the bus ministry often produce full-time workers. James 2:5 says, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? I heard this a few weeks ago. We're trying to figure out why do we have so very few men going into ministry. By the way, every once in a while we have a little group in the church. They're wonderful people. And by the way, I'm not pointing you out and I'm not going like this, but they say, how come we always talk about full-time Christian service? We know that 95% of you probably won't go into full-time Christian service, and we're thankful that you're here and I'm here, but we're thankful not everyone's going to mission field and not everyone's, but let me say this. If we don't emphasize it, pretty soon there's not going to be anybody that goes. So when we emphasize it, we're not trying to make somebody feel bad if you're not going. We're trying to challenge those, maybe their hearts are open, to go do it. It's not a spirit of condemnation. We need more Brother West and Brother Stevensons. We need more men that they're holding the rope and they're back home and they're praying and they're giving and they're doing their can to be a bus captain in the church. Every once in a while a missions emphasis, too much of this, what is everybody going to, does everybody have to go in full? No, everybody doesn't have to go in full-time Christian service. But I'd rather be in a church where we emphasize it a lot so that we can get the gospel out than where we never talk about it. Converts from the bus ministry often produce full-time workers. James 2:5, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? I had a devotion, this devotion that came in, and it talks about how poor people have a predisposition. You know what predisposition is? If your mom and dad were alcoholics, you have a predisposition to be an alcoholic. Okay? Parents were drug addicts. Parents were in prison. Okay? Predisposition. I mean, you have to be, because God's grace is sufficient for everybody. But being poor gives you a predisposition for more faith. I'm like, well, I never heard of that. They went on to explain that poor people, okay, faith is depending on God. Poor people don't have much to depend on other than God. Okay, those of us that have a little bit more, we have a tendency, we don't have to, we have a tendency to depend on it. Then I heard recently a sermon, so the last few weeks, said one of the reasons, we talk about the mission field, one of the reasons there's so very few, and I don't have the numbers in front of you, Brother Board, I don't know, maybe you, my brother, probably have them off the top of your head. The amount of missionaries that go into the mission field compared to 50 years ago, it's pretty anemic, isn't it? And I heard recently someone was saying that one of the main reasons is because, now, let's go just to our independent Baptist churches. We have a lot more than we used to have. When we were poor, all we had was Jesus. Man, we're like, God, tell me what to do. I'll do it. Now I'm talking about myself. But the converts from the bus ministry often produce full-time workers. By the way, that's why we need to crank up the bus ministry so we can get more people saved and also we can produce more full-time workers. You're a bus kid? Are you a bus kid? Bus kid right here. He's here. Brother Coomley is in Laos. Bus kid. Adrian, bus, sort of. But Jay Chang, bus kid. Samantha, bus kid. Bernice, she's in Laos now. Bus kid. Jennifer Tsai, in Laos now. Bus kid. All of our bus kids. Buna, one of our bus kids. Okay? My sister-in-law, bus kid. When you don't have many options other than God, your faith often is stronger. If we lead the bus ministry the right way, we will have fruit that remains. Nick asked in college, first week maybe in college, and I had a little question and answer, and he said, What'd you do on your bus route? Or something like that. Is that what'd you say? Something like, what'd you do on your bus? Man, we did a lot of things. I said, but you know one thing we emphasize on our bus route? Please don't get this wrong. And I'm not trying to, we don't emphasize numbers all the time. By the way, there's a book in the Bible that's called Numbers. We'd rather get 100 people saved than 10 people saved. But we do know it inflates your head sometimes. But the Bible does talk about fruit that remains. John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And I told Nick, I told the class, I said, one thing we emphasized was fruit that remains. I said, when we got a bus kid saved, we wanted them to get baptized. When they got baptized, we wanted them to come to church. Once they came to church, we wanted them to come to Sunday night church. And we would have a big crew from Chicago get on our bus and go to Sunday night church. And I said, then we wanted to go to Christian school. We wanted to do what we could to have fruit that remains. Don't think the bus ministry is just a ministry to get the kids on the bus, get them saved, get them baptized, put the number on the board, No, there's a future missionary on that bus route. And that needs to be the mindset here at Pacific Baptist. By the way, bus kids grow up. They become godly people. And by the way, we can reach some bus moms and some bus dads and some bus teenagers and some bus grandmas and some bus grandpas. And by the way, some of the people on the bus route, they're not poor people. We reach bus people that are just, they come on the bus and they're just regular people like the rest of us. They're like, man, you guys happen to stumble upon our neighborhood. And we'll, but after a while, they sort of start driving in, you know. Why don't we do this? Let's do this. We got a piano player. You play the piano? If we can always have a piano player right there, Brother Panay, that helps. Because you know me, I'm always like very spontaneous. Go ahead. Why don't you play? Okay, here comes Hannah. What, you guys want to flip a coin? Rock, paper, scissors? Let me ask this. If you were saved in the bus ministry, or your wife, okay, you're here, or you're a teenager, and I know this isn't Sunday morning where, you know, we have more probably bus ministry people, but if you were saved in the bus route, or maybe you were saved and away from the Lord, you started riding the bus, maybe not our church, maybe another church, but you're here now. This is what I want you to do. I want you to come forward. Come forward. Can you play? Yeah. Come on forward. Stand right around here. Stand right around here. All the bus. You were saved through the bus ministry. Come on around here. Come on. Bring your children. Bring your children. If you're married and have children, you're not married and you have children, whatever you're. Come on up. All around the front. All around the front. Come all around the front. Come, patio. Wake up, patio. Come on up, patio. Come on up. You, your wife, your husband, you, the children. Come on up. Come on up. Come on, squeeze in. By the way, I'm seeing people I've never saw, but I didn't even know that. Come on, hurry up, Aaron. Come on. Wow. Good group, huh? I mean, we wouldn't have our quarterback for our football team if we didn't have the bus ministry. We wouldn't have Shanice singing up here if we didn't have bus ministry. And tell you to quit. It sounds good in the background. Brother Albert over here. Brother Albert's our chief construction guy. Brother Alfonso is one of our adult teachers. Hey, no whistling. By the way, he is single, but he'd rather have a girl whistle at him. Miss Naima over here, she teaches in our Christian school. Several of these girls are in Bible college. Who else we got? Brother Paul, he's an adult Sunday school teacher. Eric's a Bible college student. Billy, he wins everything, that any type of contest around here, he wins it. Ryan Rawl, his family. Man, we wouldn't have a janitorial crew if we didn't have the Rawl family. The Lopez family. Of course, Monica works in the school. Wow. I don't know about you, but I'm for the bus ministry. Hey, let's give these folks a big hand. You can go on back. Thank you very much. Oh, dirty nosed bus kids. They're not gonna ever turn out. Yes, they are, they're right there. Thank you, Hannah. Said, Pastor, what can we do for the bus? By the way, if you don't emphasize it, it's not going to happen. I'll be quite frank with you. I probably have not emphasized the bus ministry like I should. What can we do? Let's do this. And I was going to have a handout, but I didn't. Let's pray for the bus ministry. Pray. Pray. Say, well, how can I help? If you're a mechanic, you don't need to be a master mechanic, okay? John Rose and Dave DaCosta have saved us tens of thousands. It might be reaching hundreds of thousands in working on our buses. But if you're a mechanic, let's lift their load. We need some mechanics. We need some mechanics. Oh, I can't drive a bus. I can't be a bus captain. Can you turn a wrench? Well, I'm not that good. There's some things that we can... We need some more mechanics. You say, what are you looking for? I'm looking for mechanics. Maybe I catch your eye. I don't know who's a mechanic here. Maybe there's a mechanic. I don't even know it. By the way, we don't mean full time, but maybe what you can do is come up to Brother Ross and say, Brother Ross, I can't come down here 7 days a week, but put me on call. So John runs his own business. This guy's running 24/7 all the time. They have children. They have both have. John has a large family. Dave's growing. You got Leo. It's time to get with the program, Dave. One more. Amen. We need some more mechanics. It would be nice if somebody tonight would come up to Brother Ross and say, put me on the whatever list, mechanics list. You say, why? Because the buses, our church, our budget can't afford to take the buses to a diesel mechanic. We can't. Say, what else? Become a worker. Well, bus ministry is for teenagers. No, it's not. When I was in Bible college, there were two medical doctors that were bus captains. These guys, when they're at North Valley, Brother Jorgensen at one time was a bus captain. He had a PhD, I think, from Princeton. Was it Princeton? Princeton. He was a bus captain. I remember I was at a church, police officer, bus captain. Well, that's for the kids. I'll send the kids off. Hey, why don't we get, maybe we have several police officers. Maybe a police officer here tonight, you'll become a bus captain. Brother Howell said years ago, he said his mother was the first bus captain. She was like in her 70s for his church. 70s. We had Brother George Ramirez out there working on the construction site. 83 yesterday. He's 83. Brother Stevenson's a little 50, 55, something like that. No, that's, you've been in construction 55 years. Okay. Thank you, Brother Stevenson. You're an inspiration. Workers. Robert, can you use some more workers on your bus route? Okay. Brother Robert, he's an electrician, but he's a bus captain. Love, Brother Robert, he's always bringing people in. Usually come in late, but that's okay. By the way, it's okay if you're bringing people to church if you're late. Okay, if your nap's too long or your football game's going, that might not be a good excuse to come late to church. Become a worker. Wouldn't it be good to, some of us are like, what can I do? By the way, maybe one of you that were up here, you were reached the bus ministry. Come on, maybe you can be the one that's a new bus worker on the bus route. You could be a bus mechanic. You can be a bus worker. Bus driver. By the way, I'm going to confess. As a new Christian, my pastor saw me bringing visitors. And I'm bringing, they're getting saved. I am not a soul. I was not a soul winner. I'm bringing visitors. They're getting saved left and right. And then first row is, actually I start in the second row. It's full. Actually, I'm trying to think. Okay, it's over here. It was, let's see. Yeah, that's to the right. It was right here. I'd fill up the second row. And then I'd fill up the third row. But I'm bringing in a mangy crowd. They weren't bus kids. They're a bunch of hippies. Everybody's coming in with their ponytails. They're coming in with their Jimi Hendrix t-shirts. That's who I'm bringing in. And my group was pretty scary looking. Actually, the pastor got up, stuck up for me. He said, I know some of you. I've heard the talk. We're bringing in some of the, you know, people from the other side of the fence. He said, at least we're bringing somebody. Somebody might want to bring somebody to Christ. Man, I felt like I was like something. I'm like, wow. I'm just a new Christian. The pastor, I'm like, listen, I'm not real smart, but I know he's talking about me. And I never forget the bus director, he's dead now, he's in heaven. He came up to me and says, hey, I want to take you to breakfast. I'm like a new guy in the church. And he looked at me and he took me and he says, I want you to think about becoming a bus captain. I didn't even know what a bus captain was. So you're bringing all these people to church? I was about 18. So you bring all these people to church? He says, and I said, what does that consist of? And he said this, 8 hours visiting on Saturday. Back in those days, the bus ministry was real committed. All day. Oh, that was not Bible college. That was Gethsemane Baptist Church. You say, what'd you do? I'll just be quiet. I've turned it down. I didn't do it, man. I'm going, I don't know if I wasn't committed enough. Or I'm like, I was working a full-time job. But here's the point. There's lost souls out there. And there's some of us that can become a bus worker. Bus driver, okay? Bus driver, by the way, you never have enough bus drivers. Never. So what do you do to get a bus driver license? Man, I see some of our guys around here driving the bus. I'm going, these guys can't even see over the dashboard. And I'm thinking, sometimes they get bus driver's license and they drive us for an activity. I'm going, this guy's driving? Scary. But they pass the test. The insurance, we put them on the insurance and they're driving the bus. So we can pray. We can get some mechanics. We need some workers. And we need some drivers. Maybe tonight we say, I can't visit, but... Driver, now some drivers visit on, Dave Lucero visits on Saturday, goes on the bus route on Sunday, but maybe you can just drive on Sunday, okay? You say, I don't have a license. Oscar, Brother Oscar, he is the chief bus driver trainer. Go to him, you pass every time. My son Tim's got his license. He drives from Monterey Park bus, and Brother Oscar trained him. Now, some of our guys, three times. Is that called three is a charm or something like that? Okay, they go three times. I think a couple of guys that's like set records were like, they can't, got to come back next year. Listen, when you know the bus driver people over at the Department of Motor Vehicles and they call you by first name every time you come in, you need to go see Oscar. Be a driver. Let me say this. Some of our bus workers that are bus workers, let me just say this. Thank you for being a faithful bus worker, but let me say this. Some of you need to be more faithful. That bus captain that goes out, you know what he needs? He needs a little army of workers that he knows he can depend on. Be on time. Go visiting with him. Be nice if he could give you a little area where he could say, listen, that's your area. Pray for that area. Get the boys and girls, the moms and dads and the teenagers saved in there. Get them on the bus. Get them to Jesus. And let me say this. I thought about this and I added this to my message. I'm just going to say this. Who are the bus captains up there? Can somebody help me with those? Can you read those from here? Why don't you read those off for me? Ramirez? Esposito? Smith? Herrera? Cabrera, Cabrera, Ospina, Bonilla, Rodriguez, Bautista. Don't get me wrong. For the board, where's our Cambodian bus captain? Where's our Cambodian bus captain up there? Long Beach has the largest Cambodian population in America. Brother Board, I was up out. You remember the story. And I said, it's like God put it upon my heart to say, if we can go in this Cambodian community and reach a bunch of more bus kids, bring them up, we can send them to the mission field. I wonder if we can get a Cambodian bus captain. Come on, don't leave me up here. Listen, I love the Cambodian people. That's why I'm saying maybe we can get a Cambodian bus captain. We got two Filipinos, bunch of Hispanics. Maybe you say, well, you know, I work a job. Is that Robert Ramirez? You still working? You have children? You have grandchildren? Okay. Still visit on Saturdays? Had to go to a funeral, someone through, you know, he's bus ministry. Talked to one of our bus captains, Nick. He's talking to him about his finances. He said, man, ever since I've got on the bus route, I've spent a bunch of money on it. But you know what? It's a joy to see the fruit. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand together with our heads bowed.